Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Heroes of Our Faith, Overcoming and Conquering.
Awesome. We look like everybody has the word. Amen. Joshua chapter number 3, verse 1 through 7. Amen. Let's read it together. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officer went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it.
Shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you.
Joshua chapter number 3. It says, now when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. That's very key. I'll get to it in a few moments. It says, you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, let me speak as an oracle. Let me declare your truth. Let me say what it is that you're saying to us. Over and over in the book of Revelation, you ask, amen, let us have an ear to hear what the Spirit is declaring to the church. God, we are the church, Lord. So now let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us, that we would, oh God, know what we ought to do, the way we ought to go, Lord, and the things that we ought to participate in, Lord. Lord, speak to us today, Lord. Speak with, oh God, clearness of speech, Lord. Don't speak with vagueness, God. Speak with clearness, God. Articulate your will, Lord. Let us hear, oh God, the word of the Lord, that we can live, Lord. You said man would, oh God, there would come an hour, Lord, that they would not thirst for bread and water, but they would thirst from hearing the word of God. Quench our thirst today, Lord. We got to have a word from you, Lord. Quench our desire, Lord. We need more of thee, Lord. Lord, speak, Lord, and command the enemy to back up, Lord. Speak, Lord, and make our visions and dreams, oh God, understandable. Speak, Lord, and cause all of us to be spiritually formed, God. Speak, Lord. Your servant hear it, and your servant will obey, God. Speak a word over us, Lord, this day. Changes us forever, Lord. Speak a word over us this day, Lord, that changes us forever. And as you do it, God, we'll make sure that we give you the glory. We'll make sure that we give you the honor and praise, Lord. This way, God, have your way in our lives and through our lives. And all God's people said, amen and amen. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk from a subject, Yahweh will fill the earth with his glory. Do me a favor, catch somebody by the hand and say, neighbor. Come on, say it a little louder. Neighbor, Yahweh is going to fill the earth with his glory. Come on, somebody say he said he was going to do it. All right. Yahweh is going to fill this earth, amen, with his glory. Amen. A lot going on, but that's what I want you to focus in. That's what I want you to hone in. You got circumstances. You have situations. You have dire straits. Amen. But Yahweh, amen, declared in, amen, the historical account of him revealing himself that he's going to fill the earth with his glory. And the question becomes, as Isaiah asks, who will believe the report of the Lord? Amen. His report, amen, declares we healed and saved, set free and delivered. Amen. His report declared that he's going to do extraordinary things. His report says that he is that he is, or I am that I am. The question becomes, amen, whose report do you believe? If you're not careful, this life will drown out what God has declared. I need to say that again, and I pray it won't be too long. Amen. If we're not careful, life will drown out what it is that God has declared. If you're not careful, your circumstances, your situations will be so magnified that you will forget what God has already declared over you. Come on, somebody throw up your hand and say, Lord, don't let me forget what you said about me. Ah, God. Come on, somebody say it one more time. Lord, don't let me forget what you said about me. God has said some things about us that empowers us, that infuses us, that causes us to live when there's nothing to live for. God has said some things about us that causes us to live when there's nothing to live for. So we cannot forget what it is that the Lord has said about us. He calls us fearful. He calls us wonderful. He calls us great. He calls us prophets. He calls us entrepreneurs. He calls us fearless. I need to ask somebody this morning, what are you really listening to? I need to ask somebody this morning, what are you really listening to? Because if you listen to the wrong thing, your head will become hung down. If you listen to the wrong thing, it'll then make the wrong thing come out of your mouth. Come on, ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what are you listening to? Stay right there, hold it. Come on, ask your neighbor, what are you listening to? What are you listening to? Amen. If you listen to the wrong thing, I need to say that again, it'll cause your head to be hung down. If you listen to the wrong thing, it'll cause the wrong thing to come out of your mouth. If you listen to the wrong thing, you won't think about yourself as you ought to think about yourself. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, what you listening to? What you listening to? God has said some things, and we got to now focus on those things, and now we've got to get locked into those things. We got to now believe those things. We got to hold on to those things. And when all hell is coming against us, we got to then throw those things back up and say, God, you said. I believe the psalmist said this morning, we're atmosphere changers. Amen. In order to be atmosphere changers, you have to understand the power of your words. Come on, tell your neighbor, and I got to move on because I haven't even gone past the first paragraph of a note. Come on, ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, what are you listening to? What are you listening to? What are you listening to? You better get the report that says you, amen, are saved, and the report that says you delivered, and the report that says you healed, and the report that says you blessed in the city and you blessed in the field. Amen. The report that says you blessed when you come and when you go. The blessed that says no weapon formed against you. Amen. What are you listening to? Because I'm going to keep talking until I drown that out. Good God Almighty. I'm going to keep talking until I drown that out. Amen. Hey, you got to keep listening till you hear that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against it. What are you listening to? What are you listening to? They said some things. We must understand this about God, that he's about commitment, and God is about consistency, and God is about completion. You didn't hear what I said. Amen. God is a God of commitment. God is a God, amen, of consistency. Same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. He cannot be changed. If he said it, then he can make it good. Well, y'all ain't saying nothing in here. Amen. Amen. What are you listening to? God is committed. God, I feel like preaching here. He had you on his mind before you was in your twinkling in your daddy's eye. Oh, God, you ain't heard what I said. And some of you don't even understand what I'm saying. Amen. God had plans about you before you was in your mother's womb. So how could you be a mistake? How could you be an accident? We didn't really mean to have that child. They might not have meant to, but God planned it all along. God said stuff about you, amen, before the foundations of the world. So how can some now being now come whispering nothings about us and we believe it? Our God is a God about commitment. Our God is a God that is consistent. Our God is a God about completion. He that begins a good work in us will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Anybody under the sound of my verse know God has begun a good work in them? I'm glad I got 12 of y'all. Anybody know that God began a good work in you? I'm glad I got 12 of y'all. Amen. For the rest of you, then I need to help you. God has began a good work in you. And if he began the good work, you don't think he can complete it? Philippians 1 and 6 says, amen, he will complete the good work that he's began in us. Come on, tell your neighbor, God's going to finish what he started. God's going to finish what he started. Come on, tell him, I'm talking about in you. I'm talking about in you. God's going to finish what he started in you, and it ain't nothing that the devil can do about it. That's a good place to say hallelujah. Amen. That God began in you, it ain't nothing that the devil can do about it. It ain't nothing that sickness can do about it. Y'all ain't saying. It ain't nothing that lack can do about it. It ain't nothing that trials and tribulation. God began something, and he's a God about completion. You not having enough is not a trial for God. It might be a trial for you, but it ain't a trial for God. He is still Jireh. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you not having enough is not a trial for God. Because some of y'all worry because you ain't got enough. That ain't no trial for God. You just stand still. Come on, tell your neighbor, stand still. What happens if you stand still? If you stand still, stay in faith, you will see the salvation of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, just stand still. Just stand still. I feel like preaching to you. Come on, tell somebody else, just stand still. Just stand still. I'm trying to talk to you, amen, that was discouraged last night. Just stand still. I'm trying to talk to you that didn't know how this week was going to turn out. I came to tell you, just stand still. I'm trying to talk to you that don't have enough of whatever it is you think you need to have enough of. Money, friends, situation. I don't care what it is. Watch God in these next 24 hours. Come on, tell your neighbor, all I need you to do is stand still. I feel like preaching, y'all. Come on, tell your neighbor, all I need you to do is stand still. Our God is a God about completion. He gonna finish what he started. And I don't know who it is that need me to hear me say that. Specifically, he gonna finish what he started in you. Do me a favor, put your hand on somebody. God gonna finish what he started in you. Hey, God. He's going to finish what he started in you. And the enemy can't derail it. The enemy can't stop it. Y'all know why the enemy is shaking and nervous and doing all that he's doing? Because he know his time about up. And I ain't talking about eternity now. I'm talking about the stuff he's been doing in our lives and the stuff he's been doing in your life. His time is almost up. You got to get the revelation to kick him out and begin again. God is a God about completion. Amen. He is Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first. He's the last. And now we're about to see him make some things new. God, a God of completion. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He don't do nothing halfway. He don't do nothing half-hearted. If he started something, before it's over, it's going to be yes and amen. Tell one more neighbor, say, neighbor, all I need you to do is stand still. Somebody just shout real loud, Lord, I'm going to stand still. I'm going to stand still. Somebody shout a little louder, Lord, I'm going to stand still. I'm going to stand still. Yeah. If you stand still, you'll see him make some stuff new. If you stand still, I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody's. I mean, if you stand still, he'll make everything new. When the enemy tries to default is us becoming stable in all of our ways. So God has to allow some stuff to happen to mess with our stability. So he can show us how to be stable when everything around us has been unstable. He's showing us how to be stable. He's showing us how to be consistent when instability is all around us. He's showing us how to keep our testimony the same. He's showing us how to say it when all things have now worked against us. So he needs you to stand still. Hold your peace. And he will make all things new. We must now declare we wholeheartedly believe the report of the Lord. The thought that Yahweh will fill the earth with all of his glory is taken from a text that I would love to read, but I'm out of time. I'm running out of time quickly. But in Numbers chapter number 14, verse 9 through 21, Israel go through one of their worst failures in the history of them as a nation of people. And in fact, God is getting ready to destroy the whole nation. And Moses intercedes for the nation of Israel. Let me tell you what's going to help us standing still in this moment. Somebody praying for us. God, don't leave me holding. I need to encourage somebody in here that you're going to stand still, not on your own standing still ability. You're going to stand still so because somebody is saying, Lord, let Chris Aaron hold his peace. Glad somebody praying for me. You're going to stand still, Naomi, because you got somebody saying, God, let Naomi keep confessing divine health. And you think it's you standing and it's the prayers of others causing you to stand. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you're praying for me. Oh, God. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have my grandmothers and granddaddies praying for me. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have the intercessors around here saying, Pat, Lord, let Pastor keep his mind. Lord, let Pastor stay in health. Somebody prayed for me. I need to kill somebody in here. Somebody's praying for you. You ain't going to lose your mind. You ain't going to lose your stuff. You ain't going to lose your credibility. Somebody's praying day and night and night and day, and the prayers of the righteous avails much. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're going to stand still because I'm praying for you. Yeah. In Numbers chapter number 14, Israel have their most ugliest failure nearly in the history of Israel as a nation. And out of that, God declares, but my earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. That's powerful. Because it seems like Yahweh would have declared that when they passed through the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army got drowned in the Red Sea. It seemed like he would have declared it when he gave them the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. I'm trying to get you to understand the picturesque of God. He does not take heights to do what he gonna do. He doesn't need our determined success. He can take the ugliest situations. Good God Almighty. He can take the worst situation. And he said, out of that, I'm going to show you that this earth is going to be filled with my glory. I believe with all of my heart. Amen. That's what we're about to see God do in the worst situations. We're about to see God begin again. We're about to see God birth, deliver, legislate, order. And remind the nation, this is Yahweh that has done it. We're about to see not only the history, amen, that has been recorded, but we're about to see history written again. We're about to see the books of poetry and the books of Psalms lead us to the days of the prophets. I'm going somewhere. Stick with me. We're about to see the books of poetry and the books of Psalms lead us right into the days of the prophets. Isaiah picked it up and says, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they shall be red like crimson, they shall be wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. We're about to see the reward of being willing and obedient. We're about to see the prophecy come to pass and no longer prolonged. Go with me. I'm going somewhere. I believe with all of my heart, we're about to enter into a time that I'm hearing in the spirit as divine timing. There are three things important if we're going to see this very glory of God. There are three things that are very important if we're going to see prophecies and promises that God has given us. And I'll come back and I'll talk about this. This is not what I come talk about, but God keep talking to me about my people don't understand time, my people don't understand timing, and my people don't understand the use of time. If you're going to see prophecies, if you're going to see promises, if you're going to see a glory that you've never seen, then somewhere you have to understand time. To everything there is a season and a time. In order, amen, to move into glories and promises and prophecies, you got to get on divine timing. You got to understand my times are in God's hand, so I need to synchronize my watch with his watch. Got to understand time. I got to understand timing. I got to understand the use of time. And if I understand the use of time, I'll never misuse time. Y'all don't want me to go there. It is always an antichrist spirit that misuses time. Daniel 7:25, it said the spirit of the Antichrist will attempt to change the times and the times time. Satan is always trying to get us out of time. He don't want us to be where we're supposed to be. He don't want us doing what we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to write a book somewhere about the timing of a person's life. He loves messing our children up by the age of 7 and 14. They in love with somebody. 7 to 14 ain't the time to fall in love with nobody but Jesus. Between the ages of 14 to 26 is the time to build your purpose. Most folks by 26 ain't ready to be in love with nobody. You know, they ain't going to say nothing. If they told you the truth, your neighbor would tell you, yeah, I got messed up between 14 and 26, messing with somebody ain't got no business messing with. Okay, y'all getting real quiet in here and y'all looking down now. I'm going to say that again. Your neighbor probably could tell you somewhere between 14 and 26, I messed with a knucklehead. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. I messed with somebody that I should have been running from. I got hung up and I'm still trying to get over it. I wish I had an honest church in here. 14 to 26 is the time that you ought to be focused on what school I'm supposed to be. Come on, millennials, listen to me. 14 to 26, you ought to be thinking about what school I ought to be going to, what book I ought to be studying, what class I ought to be taking, not how to fall in love. And we need to start teaching our young people this because they're making the same mistakes that we made and ain't nobody saying nothing. Well, your pastor going to say something, and he's going to say something real loud. 14:26 don't bring me nobody. If it ain't a book, tell me about the miseducation of the Negro. Tell me about that book. Tell me about the book that how you make a slave, because we have young men sagging and not understanding that they are in modern slavery in 2018, because nobody will tell them you ought not be doing that right now. Yeah, there's a book called The Miseducation of the Negro. And the attempt is to put you in a class that you don't learn anything but how to remain a slave. And we still fighting that battle in 2018. Time, timing, use of time. Somebody said to me, time, timing, use of time. Come on, say, Lord, help me master those three things.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.